Thank you for leading worship for us, Pastor Steve. It was great to be able to sing together, even if we can't be all in the same room together. Our scripture today, we are looking at the topic of fasting. For those of you who have been with us for several weeks, we have been doing a series on the spiritual disciplines, spiritual pathways, ways to get closer to God. And now looking back, it's almost amusing how God was preparing us even for all of this through this series. We talked a few weeks ago about simplicity, about letting go of all the stuff of our lives and trusting the Lord when we don't feel like we have our needs being met. And here we are, right? Then the next week we talked about fellowship. That was March 8th. We could see the coronavirus on the horizon, and I challenged us to talk about what it looked like to be a Christian in this new environment, how we could walk about and serve one another and not be afraid to put others' needs ahead of ourselves. Last week was supposed to be our church retreat. The theme was prayer, and Pastor Job shared with us about praying, especially in times of need like this. We can lean on the Lord and trust Him. This week, all along, we have been planning to talk about fasting, and suddenly you and I are having to fast with far more things than we ever imagined. One of my friends put something on Facebook that said, "I said I would fast during Lent, but who knew I'd have to fast from so much?" Isn't that the truth? We're all getting used to it. But God can use fasting to transform our lives and draw us closer to Him as we let go of the stuff that captures our attention. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Chronicles. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting with verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, with some of the Maonites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. And now turning over to a familiar passage, this is Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 16. "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to the Father, who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you for this chance to listen to your word, to learn from a man of God who has spent so much of his life fasting, that your word would be proclaimed and declared across the nations. Lord, we pray your anointing on Pastor Job right now, that you would speak through him to our hearts. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, a heart that understands. Lord, bless the reading of your word, the preaching of your word, and the proclamation of your word through our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we turn it over to Pastor Job. I hope you enjoy his message.
Well, we want to go into the word. I believe that the word of God plays a major role in every aspect of our lives as the saints of God and as the people that are called by the name of the Lord. Every time we have an opportunity to be able to be in contact with the word of God, it is such a great joy. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. And therefore we have this supernatural strength that is flowing in our hearts. And that gives us such stability. As the Bible says, that wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our times and the strength of our salvation. And therefore, I want to invite us to be able to hear the word of God together. And before we do that, I want us to be able to pray. So let's pray. Let's join our faith together and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son Jesus to be able to come and give his life for the sake of our lives. And Lord, even as we go to the word, we ask that anoint our faculties afresh. The hearers, let them receive understanding. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will do an internal work in their hearts and in their minds. And I also pray for my faculties as I submit myself to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, speak through me to your people. I depend on you because you're faithful and you are good. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Well, I want to share with us something about a discipline that I believe God has ordained for our sake as believers and even as the Church of Jesus Christ. And this is about fasting. This is one of the things that is good for us to embrace because it has such an enormous contribution to the effectiveness of our faith and also our service in God towards others in Jesus' name. So I want to share about when do you fast? When do you fast? So it's not about if, it is about when. And when the Bible speaks about when, then that gives us no option. I'm sorry to say so. Because fasting is something that if the majority of the members of the body of Christ can choose not to be able to do it, oh my goodness, everybody would be like, wow. But the Bible speaks about when. So when it is when, that means that we need to be able to do it. Well, in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 16, it helps us or it sets us off to our subject this moment. It says in Matthew 6:16, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Well, I want to begin by saying that fasting is doing business with God. The nation of Israel had this practice as a conventional thing, you know. And probably some people can read verses 18 and then they can say that, well, it means that people should know that we are fasting. No, it's not about that. It is about the motive. It's not about people knowing that you are fasting. So fasting is not about secrecy. For instance, or for example, when we declare maybe as a department in the church, or we declare maybe as an entire church that we are fasting, or maybe we make a decision as leaders that we are going into a fast, definitely people are going to be able to know. It will be known, you know. So it is about the heart. It is about the motive of your heart. So when do you as a Christian fast? Jesus was talking to the Jews who perfectly knew fasting. So when you go through the New Testament, there was no teaching about fasting, just a reference to fasting. But they understood fasting, you know. Even when some people in the Acts of the Apostles, can you imagine? When they wanted to be able to kill the Apostle Paul, because of the fire of God that was consuming his bones, and because he was making, you know, life very uncomfortable to some people, they fasted, wanting to be able to do what? To kill the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine about that? So fasting was one of the ordinances or requirements, required practice in Israel. You know? Now the question is, when do we fast? And I want us to be able to go to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from verses 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verses 3. The Bible reads, and I'll read, "And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Verse 7, the Bible says, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it, and I built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And he said, and now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you have not let Israel invade. When they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them." So the Bible says that King Jehoshaphat feared and he set himself to seek the Lord. So when do we fast? We fast to seek the Lord. There are so many circumstances, there are so many situations that are going to be able to create fearful, you know, aspects, fearful thoughts. And that is the time we need to be able to proclaim a fast so that we can seek the Lord. At times we face an insurmountable situations, seemingly insurmountable problems. So we need to be able to seek the face of God in fasting. Why? So that we may know what to do. So that we may hear from Him. So that we may seek direction from Him. That is why fasting should be brought back to the church. If there is something that the enemy has succeeded in separating the church from, is the practice of fasting. Can you imagine the situation of Jehoshaphat when these enemies were surrounding him? And this man of God, thanks be to him. And those are the kind of hearts that we need to be able to have so much in the house of God. Because there are things that we are faced with, you know, and we need to know what to do. We need to hear from God. We need to seek direction from God. And those things will always bring us to the place of fasting. Now, fasting doesn't contradict faith. So even when we are in faith, we should fast. What I mean by that is that if I'm facing a situation And, you know, I'm believing God. I am confessing the word of God. I am praying on the basis of what the word of God says. Now, that should not be able to contradict fasting. In fact, if anything, it really accelerates. It really builds up my faith so that the fasting is able to back up what I am doing in faith in Jesus' name. Maybe you need a word from God. You know, you are seeking the face of God. In that portion of the scripture, if you look at verses 4, he said, so, you know, they needed the help from God. Now, this should be a normal practice in our lives, in Jesus' name. What about when I'm confused about something? When I do not know what to do, you know? Of course, I cannot be able to say exactly 100% that I may not be able to know what to do, because I know what the word of God says. I know what the written word of God is. I have the promises of God in my life. But I need to seek the face of God for this particular situation. For this particular situation, I need to seek the face of God in fasting. In verses 12, the Bible says that, you know, they seem to be powerless against the opposition. The opposition was so strong. The opposition was so great, you know, but they fasted to be able to seek the face of God. How many times do we seek such kind of do we face such kind of situation? Is it just good to walk away from it and say, God, let your will be done? You know, is it a time for us to surrender and just say, well, I'm expecting something to happen. And even if it doesn't happen, it doesn't really matter. Fasting comes in handy in such a situation, because we need to be able to know what God is saying. You need to know what to do in such a situation. Maybe there is such a trial, a trying moment that maybe your family is going through. Maybe your health is going through. Maybe it is a trying moment as far as your finances is going through. Maybe it is a dry moment spiritually. You are not connecting. You are not enjoying the wealth of the available resources that the finished work of Calvary was able to make available. You know, maybe you're facing a situation with your boss. Maybe you're facing a situation of misunderstanding with your wife and your kids at home, and you're not just connecting. You know, it is a moment of trial, just as it were a moment of trial for this anointed king in Israel. He proclaimed a fast, you know, for Judah and in Jerusalem, and they were fasting, you know. You know, and you know what he said? He said that we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. You know, those words blesses me. Their eyes were upon the Lord with an expectation, but not just like that. There was fasting that was proclaimed in Judah and in Israel. You can't imagine what the throne of God is able to overflow with, you know, towards our time and towards our challenges. When we learn from such kind of people of God, you know, there was just something that God used to do with all those old people that we need to be able to connect with, even though we are Christians in the New Testament. Now, I want us to go again to Ezra chapter 8 and from verses 21 and just see, when do we fast? You know, Ezra chapter 8 and verses 1. Wow. Ezra. Okay. I get Ezra. Oosh, Jehovah God. Yes. Ezra 8 from verses 1. The Bible says that, Okay. Verses 21, I'm sorry, Ezra 8 and verses 21. The Bible says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God, to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possession. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all those for good, who seek Him, but His power and His wrath are against all those who forsake Him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this. And the Bible says, and He answered our prayers. Wow. Ezra is talking. Why did he proclaim a fast? That they might humble themselves before God. So we fast to humble ourselves. Bible says He gives more grace to the humble and they resist the proud. Can you imagine God can resist His people? Can you imagine that? I mean, if God resists you, who can be on your side if God resists you? But we humble ourselves so that we can have an increase of grace. You know? So we fast to humble ourselves. And the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, by the grace of God, we can be able to just go there and get some words from the Apostle Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. God is a God who exalts us. But can you imagine the path is that for God to be able to exalt us as individuals, as a couple, as you know, a father, a mother, as a minister, as a leader in the church, and as a saint in the church? We need the aspect of what humility, in our hearts, you know. And we need to fast. People can fast and they are still proud, don't get me wrong, you know. But they may still fast. That means that they don't really understand about fasting. You know, there is a lot of pride in people. There's a lot of pride sometimes in my own heart. I can be prideful, you know, to my wife. I can be prideful to the members of my church. I can be prideful because of what I know in the scriptures. And the moment I walk in that path, I now lose the grace of God. And I don't want that. And that is why I need to be able to fast so that God can be able to help me in Jesus' name. So it takes humility to admit where we are. It takes humility to admit that, God, I am not experiencing what God has made available. You know, as a believer, I need to experience the reality of truth. I need to experience the reality of joy. I need to experience the reality of the power of God. I need to experience the reality of fervency, being on fire for God. I am tired of mediocrity. I am tired of a life where I cannot be able to enjoy the overflow of what God has made available on the basis of the finished work of Calvary. And there are so many things that come and cloud my heart. They cloud my mind. And some of those things are legitimate, good things. And those things will come and cover, you know, the purity of what God has for me. And that is why I need to humble myself. Ezra proclaimed a fast so that humility can be able to be in the heart of the people. You know? At times, we can be able to come to a place of saying that I have tried everything that I know to do. That is a frustration that sometimes we face in life. I've tried to pray the way I know. I've tried to do this. I've tried to be good. I've tried to give to the poor. Don't get me wrong. Those things are good. But for me to be able to really, really, you know, get what is in the heart of God when I've tried everything, I need to cultivate a lifestyle of fasting. You know, the Apostle Paul one day said that the God of the church, was it the Philippians, was their belly? My goodness, can you imagine that? Can you imagine that my belly can actually become an idol? Something to think about. You know? But we need to come to a place where we can just say, God, I want to seek your face. I want to hear from you. I want direction from you. You know, I am tired of being presumptuous in life. I want to hear what God is saying. I want to know your will concerning this situation. I want that victory, you know, that is guaranteed. I just want to be able to have security, to be secured in health by the word of God. And that is why we need to do it, to fast. Of course, sometimes I know by the word of God, I'm secured in my, you know, in my health and things like that. But I need to fast and just humble myself before God in Jesus' name. I want to seek his face. I want to know what to do, you know. You know what? It is not really about being confused about the fact that your victory has been guaranteed. Don't mix it up. Of course, your victory is not laid in fasting. It is not about when I fast more, I'll get, you know, things more. No, that's not the issue. You are seeking the face of God. You are humbling yourself before him. Because if you read in verses 22 and 23, if you read it in context, they were to make a journey. But in that journey, there were bandits from the road. It wasn't safe. And at times in this journey, Satan lies, wants to be able to lay traps against us, you know. Of course, the Bible says they were ashamed to be able to tell the king that we need some protection. They told the king about the power of their God and, you know, the faithfulness of their God and things like that. But they were fasting so to seek God's protection along the way, you know. So they sought protection from God. They sought protection of their little ones and their possession. They were fasting to humble themselves, you know. I want us to look at Nehemiah chapter 1 and the 4th verse. If you can be able to turn with me in Nehemiah chapter 4, from verses 1, and just see how far we can be able to go with this subject of fasting. When do I fast? Nehemiah chapter 4 and verses 1. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, "These are feeble Jews. What are these feeble Jews doing? They will fortify themselves. Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish stones that are burnt and all that?" You know. And if you look at verses 3, so now Tobiah and the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they built, even if a fox goes up on it, it will break down their stone wall." Then he said, "Oh, hear, O God, for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them a splendor to a land of captivity," and all that. So Nehemiah asked about the state of Jerusalem, the situation of Jerusalem, because people had come from Jerusalem to where Nehemiah was. So he was concerned about the condition of Jerusalem. And you know, Nehemiah, the Bible says, when he heard about the condition, the state of Jerusalem, the Bible says he mourned. You know what the Bible says? Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. He mourned about the state of Jerusalem. Can we mourn about the state of the church? When at times you look at the state of the church, when at times you walk in the doors of the church, and you can be able to know what people are going through in the church. At times, the coldness that is in the church. I mean, at times, if you look at how the people in the church are dealing with the things of God, do you sometimes mourn for the state of the church? You know? And this is what was making people like Nehemiah live different lives. I mean, worldwide, can we truly today mourn because of the state of the church? We mourn for how worldliness and how materialism has just captured the church and driven away the church from the place of strength. Driven away the church from the place where we are supposed to be able to be portraying the faith which is an overcoming faith. We need to mourn for the church. And fasting plays a major role when it comes to that. We get desperate before his presence. We seek his heart. We say, God, we are tired of religion and playing religiosity. We don't want to be fake. We want to be real as the Church of Jesus Christ. And fasting can help us come to that place where we tear everything that needs to be torn in our heart, in our minds, every mask that we have, every pretense that we have. We come to God with the bare hearts and we say, God, we are so desperate. We need you in our time that we are living in. Help us. We mourn. You know, when the apostles in the Acts of the Apostles heard about sin, they didn't take it the way we are taking it today. They fell on their faces and they cried. They prayed. In our time today, you know, it's just somebody did something. You know, no, it shouldn't be like that. We need to be able to mourn. And that can happen when the Church of Jesus Christ learns how we can humble ourselves in fasting and prayer. We need to be asking ourselves over what's going on in the church. We need to grieve because we are concerned with the state of the church. The Bible says he wept for many days when he heard about it. He was fasting. He was praying before the God of heaven. He was saying, God, I want you to be attentive to the prayers of your servant. One thing that I know about prayer is that prayer, you know, makes you get the attention of God. So if you can be able to bring your prayers together, the fasting, you get the attention of God. And we need to be able to be doing that periodically in our lives in Jesus' name. What about Esther 4:11 to verse 16? What was the solution over this? Esther said that the king has not invited me. He hasn't invited me. But there is a situation that he's facing the Jews. They are supposed to be able to be murdered. I mean, the same spirit is still there today. Satan is using various opportunities to be able to bring death to people. What about abortion? What about other things? And the solution is that Esther has to appear before the king and seek the favor of the king. Esther fasted. You know what she said? He said that, I've not invited, yes, but if I'm to die, let me die. That is how Esther was able to gather all the Jews. And we need men and women of God who can be able to say that, in this month, we are going to be able to declare a fast. Gather up the saints of God. Gather up leadership, and tell them, this month, we are going to be able to trust God. Let him give us wisdom, instruction in how we are going to be able to do it. We just are going to be able to fast. Back in my country, the church where I pastor, the month of January and the month of February, those are months where we declare a fast. People are able to register and they can say that, okay, in a week, I'm going to fast for 2 days. I'm going to fast maybe for 3 days. And as a leader, when the members of the church are fasting for 2 days, 3 days, I don't fast for 2 days, 3 days. I don't do that. As a leader, I take slightly more days than what other members are doing. That is how I can be able to be a leader to them. So if they're fasting for 3 days, I do it for 4 days or for 5 days in a week. I've never died by doing that. And I'm not planning to die soon. In Jesus' name, it's just to offer some kind of leadership. And as a leader and the leaders who are around me, I don't force them to be able to fast. Of course, that neither do I manipulate them. But we have discipled them in the same path. You as a leader of that department, the church is fasting. Are you going to be able to be eating, morning and noon and in the evening? No way. Mm-mm. We will fast. Esther did it. We can do it. And the grace of God is sufficient. You see, if you are desperate and a situation makes you desperate to seek the face of God, you will go ahead and declare fast. When your life is at stake, your life is at stake. The life of a loved one is at stake. Wow. You will fast. What about when you have an assignment from heaven? The church has an assignment from heaven. Individuals have an assignment from heaven. We will fast. In Psalms 35 and verses 13, David is speaking. And David is saying that, you know what? When the people were sick, he fasted. I want to bring up all this. We know that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we were healed. But Satan is a vicious being. And Satan wants a church that is sick. And that is why the church needs to be able to periodically declare a fast so that we may be able to weaken the attacks of darkness, the attacks of hell against believers. Because Satan wants to be able to use sickness and disease as a pathway to bring the spirit of death. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it in abundance. So God is a God of life. The church is supposed to be able to be a place full of life. Now, it is the fasting that can be able to empower us and build a fortified kind of a spiritual climate where we tell sickness and disease away from the church. In Jesus' name. Even though I know the promise is there, but we need a practical way of expressing our faith in what Jesus was able to make available on the cross. And that is what I mean by some people's life can be online. At times, as a pastor, I take the responsibility by creating such an environment through teaching and practical ways on how to be able to make believers, express their faith on victory. That they don't need to be able to be victims of all kinds of disease and sickness. And that is how we are able to tell the devil, get your dirty hand out of the church. By creating an environment of fasting When we do that, we are actually strengthening the promises of God to be able to become a reality, which pastor is helping barring people, barring young people in the church who have a potential, or seeing people in the church that they just come to church, but they're not on fire for God. They just come to church and everything seems to be able to be normal. Now, things are not supposed to be able to be normal. Things are supposed to be abnormal normal. Why? Fasting is key in Jesus' name. David was fasting for them. You know, he was facing up and down. He was praying. He was mourning for them as a leader. Wow. What an awesome God are we serving? You know? Now, I just want to bring an aspect. I may not be able to explain this because of time and all that, but I just want to bring an aspect in 2 Samuel 12 and verses 15. I hope you're enjoying this. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15, the Bible says, "Then Nathan departed to his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and it became ill. David therefore pleaded with God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground." Verse 17, "So the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them." In this case, the child died. But if there was time, I would have mentioned something about that later. But in this case, anyway, the people knew that David was facing an impossible situation. There was a critical situation. And at times we are faced by what is impossible in the natural. That's the truth. At times you are faced by a critical situation in life. Allow me to read Psalm 69. It's good to be able to go through the scriptures because it helps us to validate what we are saying. Psalm 69, verses 9 to 10. The Bible says, "Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me, when I wept and chastened my soul with the fasting, that became my reproach." When you need to chasten yourself, that word chasten simply means discipline. Discipline. I'm talking about, you know, when do we fast as believers? You know, discipline. Allow me to be able to mention this. You know, Satan came and attempted Jesus. Bible says Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And he came and said that if you are the Son of God, because he knew that Jesus was angry, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to be able to become bread. What was Satan actually appealing to? Appetite. Fasting can bring discipline in your appetite. I'm sorry to say, because sometimes we dig our own grave with our teeth. Satan can be able to establish an appetite. People have an appetite for evil things. And that is exactly what Satan was appealing for. And Jesus was simply saying, I cannot be able to allow my appetite, you know, to be able to dictate to me anything as far as my life is concerned. And that is an awesome discipline. Now, this is a general kind of teaching, but if I had specific groups that I'm talking to, I would have explained some levels of appetites that Satan is using to be able to drown the people of God into an imaginable, you know, shipwrecking their faith because their appetites are not disciplined. And fasting is one of the things that God uses to be able to discipline our appetite. You can have such a high level of appetite for clothes and appetite for this and appetite for that. And that requires some level of what? Discipline. This is not to say that God is not an abundance God. He is. But you know what? Jesus lived a fasted life. He obeyed God. The first Adam lived a life where there was plenty in the Garden of Eden. He never made it. He fell in sin. So which one do you prefer? Is it the one of Jesus or the one of the first Adam in the Garden of Eden? In the Garden of Eden, there was more than enough. And the man of God then fell. Jesus lived a fasted life. He obeyed God. I'd rather choose the one of Jesus, even though there is fasting as an aspect in it. But I see victory in that. So we also fast to chasten ourselves, discipline ourselves. We need discipline in prayer. We need discipline in reading the Bible. We need discipline in reaching out to the souls that are lost. We need discipline in reaching out to our brothers and sisters who may be able to need my touch. Prayer, encouragement, reaching out to them. I need those discipline. I need to discipline myself so that I can overcome self. Self is an idol. I need to overcome that. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, he said that I discipline my body, lest after I have preached to others, I need to subdue this body. I need to subject this body so that this body does not do what it wants. You know, sometimes your mind goes crazy. Let me give an example. You know, Satan can be able to flash a thought of lust in your mind. Do you know what I tell my body? I myself am not going to do it. If you want to go and do it, do it. I'm not moving there. I'm not going. You know, when you refuse, your body cannot be able to leave you and go. Wow. Discipline. And what about today in the church? The devil comes with this saying, I mean, the church sometimes is stinking, sin of immorality. That is what the devil does in the church. Paul says those things should not even be mentioned among us. Brothers and sisters, we need to be able to restore fasting back in the church in Jesus' name. So until I come along your way, I cannot be able to finish all my points on fasting, but I believe you have learned something. I ask you, I appeal to your heart in Jesus' name. In fact, this is the moment we can arise in fasting. Now that you are in your home because of this coronavirus, what an awesome opportunity. You can be able to declare a fast. Don't take breakfast, you won't die. Don't take lunch, you won't die. Before you take supper, get your Bible, read it, you know, get some time to pray, and then you can be able now to take your supper. If that is how you're going to do it, you can say, I'm going to do 24-hour fasting. I mean, by the time tomorrow comes in, you've been before the presence of God, you are reading the scriptures, you are praying, you'll be so much energized, refreshed in your heart. Because God wants us to fast. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to hear the word. We ask of your strength. We ask of your power to enable us and grace to help us fast. Thank you for your people. Let your spirit minister to each one of them. I bless you and I give you praise. In Jesus' name, I pray it. Until we come along our way again, Stay safe. God bless you and be strong in God. Thank you.